Well, hello, everybody. I am really quite happy to be here with you and to see you here with me. I come to you, as always, to speak about self-inquiry. And I don't think that I could have assigned myself a more impossible job in life than to speak about self-inquiry. I try. Lord knows I try. But what I am speaking about is something that is that seems to be an effort to discover something that has never been lost. Seems to be an effort to find the reality that is ever-present and obvious to all. So that when I try to speak of it, I fail, always. It doesn't matter whether I seem to succeed or not, I always fail. Sometimes I have conversations with people or receive emails from people in which what the people have to say to me seems to indicate that somehow they have really heard very clearly the heart of what it is that I'm trying to say. And sometimes I receive emails from people and have conversations with people, and sometimes the same people play the two different roles, whose
speech
reveals to me how far short I have fallen of saying anything at all that's of use to anyone at all. So I'm saying all this as kind of a disclaimer. And I want to tell you in advance what it is that I'm trying to do with my speech and what it is that I'm not trying to do with my speech. What I am trying to do with my speech is to somehow trigger in everyone that I speak to a recognition of what it feels like to know reality. I'm not trying to trigger a discovery of reality. And I'm not trying to cause or present a practice in which the experience, the knowing of reality can be attained. I am trying to trigger the recognition of the knowing of what's real that's always already here. Because the thing is that in my experience, we all absolutely know what's real and absolutely know what's false. We absolutely know the truth of what we are. There is never a moment, never a nanosecond in our lives when we are not absolutely filled with the knowing of the reality of what we are. And maybe precisely because of the fact that there is never a nanosecond in our lives when we are not filled with this knowing, we seem, in my experience, we seem to have forgotten that that ever-present reality is. You see what I mean? Even when I try to speak about how difficult it is to speak about this, I get lost in words and concepts and ideas. But here's the thing. I know from my own experience, and I know from the experience of many people that I've been with over the years, I know that the recognition of reality of what we are destroys all idea that there's any problem anywhere to be found. I know that. And I know that there is absolutely no way to communicate or teach any method or technique that will lead us to the recognition of the reality of what we are. I know that too. But I know from my own experience that if we will just try with all of our hearts to figure out how to find out what I am, really, that that's all that matters, that that takes care of it all, that the desire to know truth cannot be denied, cannot be thwarted, cannot be done wrongly, that the desire to know truth is self-fulfilling. So my only real desire in meeting with you and in meeting with anybody and talking with anybody about these matters is to introduce you to what you are in order that you can be rid of and what do I mean by you? Well, I mean you, you know, the person you are, the mind stream that you are, that yearns to be free, that yearns to be finished with the idea that life's a burden. And I know that if you can take upon yourself the effort, the internal effort of conscious attention to put everything else secondary to finding what is real about you, what is real, what are you really? I know that that effort itself, that internal, self-motivated, self-guided, self-taught effort and desire to know the truth will destroy all the false, will destroy all the false ideas that we all have about what we are. Well, actually, it doesn't destroy the ideas, because it doesn't destroy the life, and it doesn't destroy the mind, and it doesn't destroy the drama, and it doesn't destroy anything except the belief that that's me. We go wrong, it seems to me, in my experience, when we seek to do something about the life and about the mind and about the righteousness or unrighteousness or the intelligence or the unintelligence of the life and the mind in order to find happiness and peace and comfort. We go wrong, and although it's absolutely understandable, I mean, what else is there for us to do except to try to fix our lives? But we go wrong when we try to fix our lives and our minds and our desires and our relationships and our material circumstance, thinking that in so doing we will find happiness and peace and self-realization and enlightenment. None of that can happen to our lives, none of it. Peace in our lives comes and goes. It's an aspect of the story. Warfare in our lives comes and goes. It's another aspect of the story. Love comes and goes. Hatred comes and goes. Aggression comes and goes. Peace, again, comes and goes. And it doesn't matter what we do to our lives or how well fixed we are or how clearly we understand spiritual reality or how many experiences we've had or how much drugs we've done or anything like that. Still, the effort to find peace and happiness and final satisfaction, really, the final resolution of all the sense of things being wrong and needing to be fixed. Trying to find that by trying to do something about our lives, we go way off the track and doesn't work. I know this from my own experience. I know that there is operating within us all, and it doesn't matter who we are, operating within us all is this absolutely unseen, unseeable, indescribable, invisible, unconscious belief that I am my life. What else would I be? I am my life. I am my actions and my desires and my intentions and my thoughts. I know that that belief operates within us all until it doesn't. And I know that that belief is false. I know that from my own experience. And I know that that belief actually can be destroyed. And I know that in the absence of that belief, life is revealed to be precious and beautiful, soft and sweet, no matter how it looks. And I know, most importantly, I know that the only way to destroy that belief that I am my life is to fill myself with the truth, with the reality of who I am. If I am not my life, if I am not my mind and my thoughts, my intentions, my righteousness and unrighteousness, if I am not these things, what then could I be? Really? Where am I to be found? Really? Is it true that I don't know what I am? Really? Is that true? What am I, really? What about me? What about this presence here has always been the same, as long as I can remember? It's not my body, it's not my thoughts, it's not my intentions or my righteousness or unrighteousness or any of those things. But it is, and it is me. I am here always. I know that. I have never changed. I know that in a way that doesn't even call for me to assert the fact that I know that. I am here. I know that in a way that I could not possibly articulate and tell you what this knowing feels like, what this reality feels like. But the knowing of it is certain, absolutely certain, as it is in everyone. So the whole purpose of these meetings in Satsang, for me, and the whole purpose of self-inquiry for me, is to fill myself with the conscious recognition of that knowing. So that when I see this presence out of the corner of my eyes, I immediately recognize it as me, as myself. When I catch the slightest glimpse of it in the unfolding of my day, this silent, unseeable presence, I recognize it as myself, because I have sought myself and found that. It is not the seeking of myself that reveals it. This that you are is here always. What the seeking of myself reveals is the fact that I know myself. And the consistent and continuous effort to fill myself with the recognition of this knowing, over time, totally destroys the belief that I am my life. And I couldn't say that the absence of that belief feels like anything. I never really knew the belief was here to begin with. I mean, really, what's a belief feel like? My life is not all that different. The same endless rising and falling of spontaneously appearing thought, opinions, judgments, preferences, good thoughts, bad thoughts, understanding, lack of understanding, all of that plays here, as it always has. Well, as it always has, because it's always been changing, it's never exactly the same, but it all plays here. And none of it adds to me or subtracts from me a grain of sand. All of it, none of it, is of has me at stake in it in any way whatsoever. And all of it is the is a part of the endlessly unfolding story that is the entire cosmos, which itself is a story being told about you. And it's all quite wondrous. So my desire, and the reason that I come to these meetings, and the reason that I talk to people, and the reason that I do what I do, is because I would like to, I really am trying too. I mean, this isn't like, I'm not channeling any kind of advanced being or anything. This is me, just like you, and I really am trying with all my heart to find a way to speak, to convince, to persuade whoever I speak with to try to find out what they are. And I really, and I don't do it very well. But that's all that I want. That's all that I want in my work, is to persuade everyone I can to try to find out what they are. I don't want to tell you what you are. I don't want to give you big experiences. I don't want to take experiences away from you. I don't want you to quit your practices or quit your religion or quit your family or stay with any of those things either. The only thing I want in all the world is to persuade you and everyone that I come upon and everyone that I can possibly reach in the world to try to find out what you are. Just try and see what happens. And to me, that's self-inquiry. Self-inquiry is the self-motivated, self-directed effort to use one's own conscious attention to acquire the experience of reality, to recognize the ever-present experience of reality, in order that, in so doing, the lie can be washed away. So it doesn't matter. I don't need to be able to tell you what reality is like. That's not part of my job. In fact, it is, if anything, would be a hindrance. I don't need to try to tell you what reality feels like or what it looks like or what it is or should be. All I need to do is to persuade you to try with all your heart to find out what you are, and everything else will be taken care of. Because you see, reality is the teacher. The best the rest of us can do is urge you to look at it, urge you to look at yourself. And it's the looking that does the work. so I don't come to offer you enlightenment or self-realization. I, so far as I can see, the self is doing just fine without my help in realizing it. I don't come to offer you bliss or eternal life or the forgiveness of sins. I come only for the purpose of trying to urge you with all urgency to do what you can, whatever you can, to find out what you are, and to point out to you that the only place that that can be found is within you, certainly not in the objects that you see looking outward. It can only be found within you. So that's what I have to say. And anybody, I am happy, would be happy to speak with any of you and see if you can do a better job than I can at saying anything useful about this business.
We have Nigel now calling from Madrid.
Hi, Nigel.
Hi, John. How are you doing? I can hear you fine.
Well.
Can you? That's good.
And I hear you very well.
That's brilliant. I had hassles the last time. No, I was...
You're doing real good this time.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Great. No, that's cool. This is just really an observation, something that I've learned through your practice. And by the way, I really feel that your teaching is crystal clear. It really is. And I understand how you can feel that maybe you don't hit the spot. But believe me, compared to most teachings, even qualified teachers like Krishnamurti, I find that people used to get really confused. I think your teaching is very, very hits the spot. It hits the spot. But one of the things I was no, it's true. It's true. I think you once mentioned in one of your podcasts about you'd like to find a way to express the inquiry in a clearer way, and this is something that had occurred to me before I even heard of your teachings, and it's the same with Ramana. It's who am I, but without words. Because it seems to me that it is words that are the seducers, the part of the ego that always puts us into time spaces and intellectual ideas and concepts, and it seems to me that the inquiry itself takes you to a place where you see that there are no words to define what you really are, you know?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right, and it's also true that the one who sees that words are useless is precisely the same mind stream that is so in love with words itself. And it is really true that you know, time and space and all of that's all part of what awareness calls forth and its desire to see itself. And so it's not like there's something wrong with the mind, although there may be, but it's not like there's something fundamentally wrong with mind and time and space and the experience of separation and the drama of life, you know, the good and the bad. The only thing is that it is not what I am. And that so long as I believe that it's what I am, this life will be characterized by suffering and dread. So the interesting thing to me is that the words that by which the teaching is transmitted are there's nothing wrong with transmitting it with words. It's just impossible to do, really. You follow me?
Yeah, completely, yeah. But it is funny, because of the huge paradox, you know. the fact that the human being as an animal that has actually created a system of speech now has the ability to transmit a teaching that otherwise, without this delusion of words, it wouldn't be able to transmit.
Right.
You know, it's sort of a quite curious paradox.
That's right. We were, Carla and I were talking yesterday about our cat, Switters, and whether when he engages in some of the behaviors he engages in, whether he's expecting something, or if expecting isn't something that is really just human, and for most animals, it is just experience, sensation, behavior, and moving on to the next thing. And there's no sense of disconnect or separation and self at stake in the life of a cat. But I don't know whether that's true or not, because this cat seems to be pretty smart. But I forget what I was going to say. I've got sidetracked.
It's curious you should say. No, but I think it's an interesting analogy with animals, because you do see just how they are completely and utterly controlled by sensations. You know, they have the different modes. You know, we've got a cat the same, he's called Baddie. Yeah. And when he's in hunting mode, and then there are times when he wants to be caressed, and there are times when you see it very clearly. But it is curious that they have no words.
Go on.
They have no concepts or words or ideas, you know. And it seems to me it's what the human being has done. We've developed memory, and through the idea of, well, if I remember what I did yesterday and I remember what I do today, then you've got this sort of feeling of continuum, you know, and we identify with that. So I think it's interesting when you said this belief in I. It isn't so much a belief as such. It's almost like a mode that's just accepted through time, you know, because we experience ourselves through time and therefore think that I am through time.
Right, it is the most fundamental belief there is, really. And it's unseen and unseeable and just is the energy. But the thing that is revealed when finally the truth is revealed, and the truth being that what I am is not at stake in this life, the thing that's revealed in all of this discussion about the uniqueness of the human consciousness is how precious human consciousness is, and what a magnificent opportunity is presented in human consciousness, and that this is what awareness is called out of itself. It is there's something about human consciousness that is precious, and it's not wrong that it has a sense of continuum, and it's not wrong that it has preferences and opinions and wrongfulness and rightfulness and so forth. This is all the story being told about you. Not about you, Nigel, but about you. About the reality, the underlying silent reality of all. And within the human consciousness, only within the human consciousness can arise this curious desire to be free of itself. I don't see that happening anywhere else in rocks and stuff, although rocks are made of the same stuff. You follow me?
I do. And one of the things you said, which is one of the parts of your teaching that I find so very, very helpful, is the total... what could I call it? Breakdown of conflict with what you are. You know, it seems to me that in your teaching, it's very important that there's absolutely no conflict with what you are. There's no need to change who you are. There's no need to be anything that you aren't. There's no shoulds or shouldn'ts in this. It's just what you are, and observe and be here and be still.
Yes, that's right, and it's all of that is beside the point. Really, it's all beside the point. How the life looks, what you're doing, what you've done in the past, what you're still doing, that whether you're still doing the same old stupid stuff or not still doing the same old stupid stuff in no way prevents you or can obscure or diminish the recognition of the reality of what you are. And therefore, any effort expended on trying to clear all that stuff up is just time wasted.
That in itself is just very, very liberating. I found that so very, very liberating. And what, going back to what you were saying before, it's when there is no conflict, you can actually see the miracle of the ego, the miracle of memory, the miracle of the way the mind works, no matter what's going on. You know, I mean, it is an absolutely extraordinary. It's beyond comprehension. I mean, I find I'm beyond comprehension to myself. You know.
It is. Okay.
It's a crazy situation, really. It's almost like a little baby stuck in some enormous computer, you know.
And yes, it is.
It really is miraculous. I mean, that's one of the things that I find a source of great, what can I say, encouragement, I suppose, for want of a better word.
Yes. Yes, but, and all it takes is for this feeling of dread and being at stake in the life to vanish, for everything to be incomprehensibly revealed, freshly, preciously. And
yes,
all that rids us of that feeling of everything at stake and dreadfulness is the truth.
Yes, it is. It is incredible that our normal state is just so full of fear, and it really is. We're always worried about something or another.
Yes,
and
we are.
To be free of that is an important step.
Yes, it is. And the I don't remember what I was going to say. It's all a wonder. It's all a miracle. It's magnificent. It's wonderful to speak with you, Nigel. I'm glad that your technical difficulties didn't prevent you this time.
Yes, I'm really happy as well. It's been marvelous, and I'll always be here. As long as you're doing this, I'll be here.
Okay. Okay.
Best, John. All the best. Goodbye.
Thank you, Nigel. Goodbye. Is there anyone else, Carla?
Yes, we have Steve calling from Malta, New Jersey, and he's not sure his microphone is working, so let's try it.
Steve? Uh-huh. Evidently not. But, Steve, if you can hear me, you can always send me a text message, and I can speak to that after I read it. You also can check, I don't know whether you're on a Mac or a Windows machine, but you can check and see if you have push-to-talk chosen, and if so, what key that you've elected to use for that. And, well, I don't know what else to suggest to you, except that I'm happy to see you. And I know that you're from New Jersey, and that makes you a homeboy. So if you can't speak, write me a message, okay? And in the meantime, if anybody else has anything to say to me or dispute with me or ask me, please feel free to do whatever it is you have to do to get Carla to see you. Gabor in Budapest, I assume that you can't speak, so let me read what you've written to me. How can the difference between consciousness and awareness be grasped? So far as I can see, there is no difference between consciousness and awareness. But so far as I can see, there is no difference between awareness and anything at all. The more fruitful question than a question about the difference between consciousness and awareness, or the difference between any two things, is what am I? What is it that is absent of anything that differentiates it from anything else? What is it that has never been absent? What is it that has been the same for all of my life? Because the only thing that I know that's of any use to anyone in the spiritual world is the tasting of the reality of what we are, the true reality of what we are, and seeing it, knowing it to be you. And it's my experience that in that, all these questions are ended, done. So if there's anything more that I can say about that, please let me know. And if you can speak, please speak. But I hope that's helpful to you. And Steve, I see you. You're very welcome. There's nothing that I like to hear better than it's working for me. That's the best. So thank you very much, Steve. Very happy. Is there somebody?
Yes, Brian is calling from Texas. Brian, I'm going to give you a voice now. You can speak now, Brian.
Hello, John.
Hi, Brian. This is late again in Dallas, Brian, right?
Late again in Dallas. I got my week's mixed up. I was out digging the garden and came back in from some water, and my computer was talking away to me. It was your voice. I have nothing much to say other than thank you.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
Thank you for passing Ramana's message on. It does work. It does work, but you have to be mindful of it to keep it going.
That's right. You have to want it. What you really have to do is you have to want to know the truth. And even if you think you don't want to know the truth, you have to act as if you do. And try with all of your heart to see what's real. Mm-hmm. And that's all. There's nothing more that anybody can suggest to you to do. That's it. And that itself does the work. The effort to see what's real, what's true, what doesn't change, what's permanent. The effort itself is what does the work. I have a new metaphor now, everybody, for how self-inquiry works. I spoke of it for a while as medicine, because that still seems to me to be a pretty good metaphor, but lately I've been using the metaphor that realization, self-inquiry, is like termites. It's like termites. You don't know you have termites until the house falls down. And it's that way with self-inquiry. If you continue looking to find the reality of what you are, even if you are time after time after time after time thwarted from the sense that you have actually seen anything real, the termites are at work, the termites of self-inquiry. And I promise you that over time, the structure, the house, that is the belief that you are your life, will collapse before you ever know they're there.
That is first class.
So you gave me an opportunity.
It's encouraging to know that I will collapse sometime.
Yes.
Thanks again, John.
So I'm glad you're well, Brian, and I'm glad you arrived, even if you were late. You didn't miss anything.
And, no, I didn't.
I
can catch the reruns tomorrow.
You are? Oh, yeah, right. Okay, you know, we're going to Chicago very soon, which, of course, would have been closer to you when you were elsewhere.
Uh-huh. Well, I've just heard recently there's very cheap flights between Dallas and Chicago, so we may manage it.
That would be wonderful. I'd love to see you in Chicago. This is our first trip there.
Excellent. I shall look into that.
Okay. Okay, my friend. Anything else I can do for you?
Not today. You've done it all. You've set the termites loose. Thank you.
Okay, my friends. I am always, you know, I'm always grateful beyond any idea that you might have for these meetings with you and Satsang. What I said in the beginning is really true. The only thing in the world that I want is to persuade everybody that I can reach to try to find the truth of what they are. And I am extremely aware of the fact that I mostly fail to effectively make that persuasion. I am flattered and joyful beyond comprehension when someone reports that it works. But I tell you, the thing, if my skill in this task grows at all, it grows as a result of being in satsang with you often as possible. So that I come to satsang to drink from the well of you, of reality, to drink from the well of your reception of this, of your understanding of what I say, and to hopefully see it over time, like the opposite of termites, reform and perfect in me the ability to persuade people to try this, just that. So thank you so much. Carla, is there someone else that wanted to speak? Okay.
We have Karen calling from New York. Karen, you there?
Karen? And thank you, Sajeev. Thank you so much. If my words are hitting the spot, then it's mostly your work. Karen? I see your microphone light blinking a little bit. Does that mean that you're on the verge of being able to speak? Guess not. You know, in the interim, we're going to spend a little bit of time in the period before the next online meeting investigating ways in which we can simplify and make more effective the technology that underlies this so that it's maybe easier and or at least works better. Karen, I know you're trying to speak. Maybe you're muted. Are you muted? Okay, there's one more person that wants to speak, and let Carla know if you make any progress, okay, Karen? Who else is it, Carla?
Rupam is calling from Western Australia. Rupam?
Rupam. Rupam. Light, but no sound. Lou Rupam, it is wonderful to see you here. I'm very happy. I'm very happy with the emails that you've written over the last few days. You give me great joy. I'm glad to be back in touch with you. And I wish you could speak, but apparently you can't. During the next... Oh, no, light, but no voice. okay, we're going to give up on being able to speak to anybody else. Again, thank you all. I am really grateful to everything you do and to your attention and for your time and for your willingness to look for yourself. Reality is the teacher. See that reality is ever present, ever here as you. Look for yourself. Look at yourself. It's the looking that does it. I swear to God, it's the looking that does it. Thank you so much for this time and satsang. Om Shanti. May all being know itself. Carla?
Thank you for being here with us today. It's really a joy to meet with you like this. Our next world meeting in Satsang with John will be on July 15th at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Saving Time, which is minus 8 GMT. Well, we'll be on the road for the next 3 weeks on the way to Chicago and back, so we'll not be able to have another online satsang until July 15th. Meanwhile, I'd like to remind you that there are many resources available on our website at riverganga.org that can give you support during the times between our meetings online. This room is open 24/7, and you can use it to talk about self-inquiry of Ramana Maharshi and share your experiences with one another. You can also use this room at any time to check and configure your computer settings ahead of time before our Sunday meetings. You can listen to recordings of meetings in Satsang with John on our podcast page. We have a new forum called Conversations, where you can be in touch with people who are in Satsang with John all over the world. Just look for Conversation under the menu Community. You can order video and audio recordings of meetings in Satsang with John on our website. Just click on Supporting Satsang on the top navigation bar. You can find detailed information about meetings in Satsang with John. You go to the website and click on Satsang Events on the top navigation bar and then on Schedule. You can also listen to recordings of past world online satsangs on our Archives page. You click on Library on the top navigation bar and then choose Online Meetings Archives. I have something new to tell you. We have just added a new section to our website this weekend, where we will be posting complete transcriptions of meetings in Satsang with John. The first one is the transcription of the last world satsang that took place on May 27th, and more will be added regularly. Just go to the library on the top navigation bar and choose transcriptions. You can also sign up to receive our monthly email newsletter with news about meetings in Satsang with John. And if you sign up for the email newsletter, you will also get email reminders for these meetings, these online meetings. Click on Community on the top navigation bar, then on Newsletters. You can read John's blog and post your comments at johnsherman.org. As John told you earlier, we will be in the Chicago area on June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th for two public meetings and an all-day intensive. The two public meetings are open to all. There's no need to register, but to attend the all-day intensive on Sunday, you need to register. Registration is free, and you can get more information on our website. Or you can call me or email me at info@riverganga.org. By the way, you can always email John with your reports and your questions at johnsherman@riverganga.org. Okay, we look forward to being with you again at our world meeting in Satsang with John on Sunday, July 15th at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Saving Time, -8 GMT. Thank you very much.